Coming up on today's show...
We'd stand in a circle and hold hands and pray the Our Father in Spanish every day at practice and before every game. It shocked me at first because we don't do that here in the U.S.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. One of the actions you can take there is to sign up for free for the weekly Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter, which you will receive each Monday and see not only a glimpse of who the newest guest interview is, but there's always a Did You Know section in there as well. At the top of the website, there are links to social media for this show, meaning Facebook, Twitter, well, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. In addition, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Last week's guest, Jimmy Coleman, did, in fact, join that group. And, of course, social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. The closer that we get to the end of a sports season, the more hopeful that fans are for their team to be a contender for the championship. We puff our chests out a little bit more. We maybe wear our favorite team's merchandise with greater frequency, perhaps even purchase yet another new hat or t-shirt or jersey. But what about the fans whose team was eliminated from postseason contention early on? I'm talking regular season. During this NBA season, we saw the Detroit Pistons set an all-time record for consecutive losses during one season. The NFL's Carolina Panthers fired their head coach after they started this season 1-10, and then they only won one more of their remaining six games. Major League Baseball's Oakland A's lost 112 games last year. And how about when we ourselves can't seem to win? Job loss, health battles, mounting debt, car problems. Just like those fans who get fed up with their team, we feel a sense of hopelessness in our lives. My spiritual director once cited the tendency for people to say, "I guess all we can do now is pray," as though it's a last resort. He stressed prayer is what you should do first. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4 say, quote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all encouragement, who encourages us in our every affliction, so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction with the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest just retired a year and a half ago after having been a pro soccer player, although she has now started a new semi-pro women's indoor soccer team. Her pro playing career had seen her with a team in Turkey, which was preceded by playing for a team in Finland. Before that, she played for two different teams here in the States in the National Women's Soccer League, and before that, played for a team in Colombia that became champions of the first year of the Women's Pro Soccer League in that country. That came 1 year after having played in Sweden. As a student athlete, she had played Division I women's soccer at the University of Louisville after having been her high school's all-time leading scorer. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Erin Yenny.
Hi there. How's it going?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Erin. I appreciate you making time to be on the show.
Of course. No, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You have certainly collected a lot of stamps in your passport over the years. Where did it all begin for you, though? Where were you born and raised, and what was the family size?
Yeah, I'm from Troy, Ohio, and I come from a family of three kids. I'm the middle child, and I have an older brother and a younger brother.
This was a Catholic household. You received traditional Catholic education.
Yes. I was a cradle Catholic, went to a Catholic elementary school, and attended Mass regularly with my family.
High school and college, however, not Catholic institutions.
Correct. Yeah, I went to a public high school in my hometown, and then, yeah, the University of Louisville is a public university as well.
With everything that I read off in the intro, I can't even imagine you having played anything other than soccer. At what age did you first start playing sports, and was it all only soccer, or did you compete in anything else?
Oh gosh, yeah, I did play a lot of other sports. I started so young, probably as young as when I could walk. I actually was just home over the holidays and we were watching home videos. I just watched some of me when I don't know if I was 3 or something, shooting basketball in the basement. So my parents are definitely into sports and just grew up, with brothers as well, playing a lot of sports. Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. I did gymnastics, I did dance, I did soccer, basketball, and baseball. And soccer, basketball, and baseball were the main three that I played through 6th grade. And then I played soccer and basketball all the way through high school.
Okay, so tell us about being a senior in high school and going on a retreat, as well as what you're able to get involved with once you moved on to the University of Louisville.
Yeah, I went on a retreat my senior year of high school. It was a Catholic retreat, and I just remember leaving there feeling like I just felt so compelled that the Lord was speaking to me. And I remember coming home, sitting in the kitchen with my parents, and I just remember crying and telling them, like, I just was overwhelmed with his voice, I guess, telling me I didn't know what exactly. I just felt like he was calling me to do something. Felt like something big. I didn't know what it was, but I just really felt like I wanted to follow him and follow my passions wherever it was going to lead me. So, yeah, when I went to the University of Louisville, I got pretty involved with FCA. And honestly, it was so enriching for my faith because it presented Christianity to me just in a different way. And it challenged what I believe and what I think. And it made me ask deeper questions and made me ask deeper questions about my Catholic faith, and I was having conversations with other believers. And yeah, it just led me, I think, down a really healthy path of growing deeper in my faith. But I do remember, I would take some of my teammates to church on Sundays, and I sometimes was going to Christian services, and sometimes would kind of flip back and forth. I would go to a Christian service and I'd go to Catholic Mass, and I felt like every time I would go to a Christian service, and maybe I would do that 2 weeks in a row, I just felt so drawn to get to Mass. And I think it was because I was yearning for the Eucharist. And it just felt like that was so missing when I didn't have it. And yeah, that was just really telling. And again, just helped me grow deeper in my Catholic faith as I, left college as well.
And for anyone in the audience that does not know, and it's okay, FCA is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I know it has gotten talked about over a number of episodes of this show, but I also don't want to pretend that everybody who is listening to Aaron and I has heard every episode of Catholic Sports Radio. So, in case you were not aware of FCA, that is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Aaron, despite everything that you've told us, you were the all-time leading scorer for your high school, and you were playing Division I soccer. I'm sure you had to really be thinking, hey, I'm going to be a pro soccer player. So my question is, how much did Satan try to influence your ego and tempt you to just be all about soccer and let your sport and a potential pro career be what you worshiped so that your faith would not be a top priority and your identity would be rooted in soccer and not in being a child of God?
Yeah, I think that's a really big and important question. I'll say, I think in high school, I definitely felt like I had a good mindset around it. I remember my senior year also, we did an activity in class, and our teacher said, "Oh, what's one thing that you want people to know about you that they might not know about you?" And I remember writing, "I don't want people to know me for my soccer abilities. I want people to know me for who I am as a person." And so I think I was able to know that that was important at a young age. And it did, I think, carry forward through the rest of my high school and into my college years. I'd say my identity in Christ sort of was tested a little bit more even in my pro career, just because you get a lot of attention, and especially living in some of the countries I did, with the attention that the clubs got. I think in college, I honestly didn't know that I could play professional soccer until I think it was the end of my sophomore year, because at that time in high school and in the college, there was no pro women's league in the U.S. It wasn't really a reality that I thought existed. And it wasn't until I had a few older teammates who, when they graduated, they went and played professionally in Europe, in Finland. And I thought, huh, like if they did that, I think I could do that too, because I just couldn't imagine a scenario where I was going to be ready to be done playing soccer in, you know, 2 years from that time. I just felt like I had so much more to grow. I had so much more potential I wanted to see through. Thankfully, I don't think that was as much of a problem at that time. But, you know, there's always challenges. It's not that I was 100% focused on, you know, the Lord and was so great in my prayer life and all those things in college. I definitely, you know, was sucked into the party scene at times and just challenged in those ways to really kind of make my priorities right. And it's something that, you know, was a journey all the way through college and after college. But yeah.
Yeah, and audience, if this was a video podcast, you would see me nodding my head as Erin was talking about getting sucked into the party life. And that's precisely why I asked her that question, is because you probably thought, now, why is he asking her that after she just talked about going to Mass and going to FCA and trying out Christian services and longing for the Eucharist? It's because we have heard so many guests come on this show and say that they went off to college and they got sucked into college lifestyle. And so as much as Erin was applying herself to her faith life, there are those outside factors that come in and are at play that you have to recognize and stay on the right track and stay devoted to your faith. But Erin, I loved the way that you phrased that as far as you weren't finished growing as a soccer player. To me, that's a big difference than I did want to become a pro soccer player and I did want the glory and the hype and everything that comes with it. To me, it sounds like you just couldn't picture your life not playing soccer anymore, which is very different from worshiping the sport and wanting all the attention. It was all about, I want to get better as an athlete. I'm not done playing. I love the sport too much.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think you'll find if you talk to a lot of female professional women soccer players that it's around my generation, I feel that that's pretty much the majority, because at that time, like I said, there was no glory in women's soccer unless you were in the top 20 players in the country and you played on the national team. Like I said, there was no professional league for many years, and the league that did exist didn't pay. You know, there was no media around the sport. We weren't on TV. And that's kind of why I didn't even know that it was possible as well, because I didn't see it. I didn't even see the women older than me that were playing because they weren't visible. So I think that that is something that a lot of women in my generation share, and a lot of female athletes even today, you know, share that we love playing the sport. And definitely at that time, that drove me through my whole professional career. It was never, I want to be on this team, or I want to be in this league, or I want to make this milestone. It really wasn't that for me. And for some people it is, and I think that's awesome. But for me, it was definitely like, I just wanted to see how good I could become. And I said that from the beginning. And then I said, if I ever get to the point where I don't enjoy doing the work anymore, if I don't enjoy the process, then I'll stop. Mm. And I don't think I thought I would end up playing as long as I did, but I just continued to be driven by that idea of just playing with the best, playing around the best, and pushing myself mentally and physically. That and my faith really are the things that enabled me to get, you know, to play as long as I did.
Yeah, praise God. As we're about to hear, you had lots of opportunities internationally. Those of you with wanderlust, to those of you with travel bucket lists, anyone out there that has international trips somewhere in your thoughts, I want Erin to put a little different spin on that for us. Although one of you were kind enough to make a financial gift to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, yet did not indicate if I can say your name on the air or not as a public thanks. I did write an email asking for permission, or a no thanks, Bruce, let's keep it anonymous. But as of the time that Erin and I are recording this interview, I have not gotten a response back yet. I am truly grateful for that. In fact, we are right up against the 5-year anniversary of this show. This Thursday, February 1st, will be 5 years since the first episode of Catholic Sports Radio came out back in 2019. So maybe that was supposed to be a happy five-year anniversary gift. I don't know if this episode with Aaron Yenny or next week's would be the one that we consider as the five-year anniversary episode, but praise God that we've reached this milestone. And I say we, not I, because I always say that without the audience, it would just be me and the guest essentially having a telephone conversation. I'm so humbled that the Lord has allowed me to serve in this capacity for 5 years and that he has filled up the guest seat every week and that he gives me inspiration for the ministry moment segment every week. I always say, half kiddingly, that that clearly comes from him because I'm not smart enough to come up with that on my own. Keep in mind that all 5 years, it has been me doing this by myself and that it's not my job, full or part-time, and that I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. It's something I do on my own time because I felt called by the Lord to do it. That being said, the bills are really starting to add up to continue operating Catholic Sports Radio, and I have to try to find some way out of my own pocket to try to cover them. So whether it has a five-year anniversary gift or to help me with the registration cost for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention next month, which I've mentioned on a couple recent episodes, or simply because you believe in this ministry, you enjoy it, you feel you're getting value from it, and you appreciate the work that I am doing, I ask you to please prayerfully consider making a financial gift to help support Catholic Sports Radio. It's as easy as using the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. You will simply type in whatever amount you feel comfortable giving, add a short note for me to see, and boom, it's that fast and that simple, and it is secure. Alternatively, though, you can instead contact me for information on sending a check through the mail. Get in touch via the website or social media or email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and I will write you back with the relevant details. As you have heard me do in the past, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, or if you wish, you can choose to remain anonymous, as some folks have directed me to do. I'm grateful for your considering supporting Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ. Aaron, let's talk about the opportunities you were given to learn about trusting in the Lord. When I read off your highlights as I introduced you, some folks in the audience might have only heard, wow, Turkey, Finland, Colombia, Sweden, must be nice to have spent so much time in all those countries. But what I don't think sports fans recognize is the changing of teams, meaning the athletes sitting in wonder, am I going to be re-signed? And if I'm not, where will I go next? And then, of course, we forget that we're not the ones in control. God is.
Yeah, I think everybody's journey in playing is different. And I think some players are able to be in one place a little bit longer and some players get to bounce around quite a lot. I think looking back on my journey, I do feel really blessed. I was able to go and play in a lot of different places because I've always loved getting to meet new people and experience different cultures. I think that the periods of time where you didn't know where the next place was going to be, or even if you were going to get another contract, those were really hard because you're day to day trying to put in the work to be 100% prepared, because often, at least in the women's soccer sphere, you could get a call and the team wants you to come, you know, in a few days. So you really have to always be mentally preparing for that and be ready. All at the same time, you know, weeks or months might go by, or years. And in the case for me, I did have a period of time where during COVID, I was actively seeking another contract, and 2 years went by before I got the call to go to Turkey. So It really definitely tested my faith in the way of wanting to make sure I was following God's call for me. And I think that really happened during those 2 years before Turkey, because I guess I felt stuck and I felt like a fool. I felt like, what am I doing waiting? Like, is this a sign that I should be moving on? And I got into coaching during that time, and there was a lot of blessings that happened during that time of me being home and me being around my family that I think was definitely for a reason. Mm. But I do remember feeling very conflicted, you know, at different periods where I just wanted to make sure I wasn't doing it for me, that I was doing it because that was what God wanted me to do. Mm. And that 2 year period, I had given myself a deadline in the summertime. If I don't get anything by this time, I'm going to hang up the boots. and I'm going to move on. I'll start looking for jobs. And that time came and went, and I kind of was just dragging my feet a little bit. And a couple more months went by, and I got a random call. You know, it just turned out to be the biggest blessing getting to go there and having the experience I did and being able to have the closure that I did by getting to play one more season.
See, and I was getting ready to say God's timing is always perfect, but I love that because you put the 2-year time limit on it and it came and went. And that's when it's one of those cases of, yeah, you put the time limit on it. You didn't let it happen on God's time. So then lo and behold, a little bit of time passes and you get the call. So having mentioned those various countries you did play in, though, I have two separate questions for you. The first one being about Colombia. And by the way, yes, please, by all means, tell us about the excitement that was winning that championship, but also the faith element that there was down there.
Yeah, Colombia was just an amazing experience. It was the first time I had played for such a large club that had such a huge following. So it just kind of added to the magicalness of all of it and the support that we had. And it being, you know, at that time, that was the first year for the Professional Women's Soccer League in Colombia. And so the girls that I was playing with from Colombia had been waiting for that moment for their whole lives. And they had fought very hard for it. So there was a lot of passion and emotion behind everything that we did because it meant so much. And just the goal of winning the championship in that first year meant a lot to everyone. It just struck me because it was the first time also that there was an intersection between my faith and soccer intimately in a sports environment. And in Colombia, there's a very large Catholic population and it's embedded into the culture. And so we would hold hands. We'd stand in a circle and hold hands and pray the Our Father in Spanish every day at practice and before every game. It shocked me at first because we don't do that here in the U.S. It was really special in some of the relationships that I built with my teammates and my coaches and getting to go to church with them and some of the journeys that some of the players had and leading up to that championship game. And just, I mean, the people in Colombia are amazing. They're so loving. They're so open. You know, just inviting you to come into their homes. And it was just a really, really wonderful time there.
So cool. So cool. The other country I wanted to ask you about in terms of your experience there was Turkey, because you had a couple of real big faith experiences there.
Yes. People always ask me, which place did you like playing in the most? And I'm always saying it's Colombia or Turkey, because the cultures there were just so rich and the people there were just so warm and hospitable. And that was definitely true in Turkey. But what also stood out, I lived in Istanbul. And so just the history there, the rich history was unbelievable. And I had no idea before going to Turkey how much Christian history there is in Turkey. And after the season finished, I went and traveled to a couple places. And I really wanted to go to this region called Cappadocia, mostly because I knew that they'd had these sunrise hot air balloons, and it was just a really cool place to go visit. But I didn't realize that that area was actually where the early Christians lived. And so I got to go and see these structures that were where the early Christians lived in caves above ground. And when they would look out and see the Roman soldiers coming, they'd move everybody down into the underground caves, and they would hide out there for 2 or 3 months and wait until the coast was clear, and then they'd come back up. And in that region, they also have churches that are carved into the caves. And you can see churches. You can walk through churches from like 300 AD, 500 AD, wow. 800, 1000, 1200. And you can see them all right there, like these generations of Christians. And so just, yeah, walking in their shoes and just being in that environment. We also played a game in Antakya, Turkey, which is in the Bible, Antioch. And I wish that I would have had more time and ability to go and explore, because we really didn't. We weren't allowed to leave the hotel for the most part. But just being there also and playing a soccer game there was, again, it's just these reminders of what has happened here. And it was just really enriching, as well as just the fact of being immersed in Muslim culture and being able to, I think I mentioned to you, Bruce, I was reading a book while I was there called Finding Jesus Among Muslims. And the author just talks a lot about debunking some of the stereotypes we have around Muslims and just talking about seeing the beauty that we share and the beauty that threads between us and how our understanding of each other's faith actually helps us grow deeper in our faith and grow closer to God. And just hearing the call to prayer every day I just really admired the devotion, and it helped me remind myself, like when I would hear that, of I could say a prayer right now to God. And it's just having those little reminders, I think, is just really practical. And yeah, it was like life-giving for me. And the people there just were so hospitable, and the food was great. And yeah, I just learned a lot. And I came back from Turkey just feeling like my Catholic faith was enriched. I think also because of that history piece, just there being so much history there, it really made me appreciate the tradition and the history that we have in the Catholic Church. Mm,
so wonderful. So wonderful. By the way, the sunset hot air balloons, I don't have them in front of me. You sent me some pictures. Is that what one or two of those shots are?
Yeah. If I said sunset, I meant sunrise. I got up both days, yeah, like 5 a.m, and they only do them at sunrise.
And audience, I will put one of those pictures that we're talking about in the Facebook group so you can see what Aaron is describing. By the way, way back on episode 172 of the show, it was May of 2022, my guest was Father Chase Hilgenbrink. If you never heard that conversation, go back and listen to it, because he talked about having walked away from being a pro soccer player to serve Jesus. He had been with both the Colorado Rapids and then the New England Revolution of Major League Soccer. Again, that was episode 172 in May 2022. Anyhow, Aaron, I mentioned that interview because you coached with him in 2018 at Catholic Sports Camp. So clearly, you and he were able to help show others that sports and faith can go together.
Yeah, that was a wonderful camp, and just getting to meet so many other young Catholics. That was the first time that I was around so many other young Catholics in that Chicago area. They have a really large just group of them. And we got involved with this soccer camp, and Father Chase was amazing. He's just such a light, and I so enjoyed getting to meet him and just sharing that time with the younger kids and showing them that, yes, you can really, you know, be intense and go after your sport and follow your dreams in that way. And at the same time, you know, still be humble of heart and put the Lord first, and how those things tend to kind of go hand in hand. And if your faith is strong, that can help take you to even further places. So yeah, that was just a wonderful time at the Catholic Sports Camp.
And audience, if you can picture Aaron meeting Father Chase. Aaron, I'm sure that was, it sounds like the first time that you met him.
It was, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so audience, if you can picture that, I always say how wonderful it is when it is something like our Catholic faith that can open doors to a conversation, right? Because how many times do you go into a conversation cold and you right away ask the person, so what do you do? And I always get so frustrated with people leading with what do you do? We're identifying ourselves, we're identifying each other by what our job is. And so when it's an Aaron Yenny and Father Chase Hilgenbrink situation, and it's the Catholic faith that's bringing them together, and then, of course, for the two of them, you play soccer? Oh, my gosh, you play soccer? Well, now there's the second thing, and boom, they're off and running. So I'm sure, Aaron, that that was a very fruitful time that the two of you spent together, very enjoyable, both on the faith side and the sports side.
Yeah, it was. I mean, his story is incredible. It was really inspiring for me. So it was, wonderful meeting him.
Since we are going to close momentarily with a prayer, my last question to you, Aaron, is if you would share with the audience about the scripture passage that you cite on your Instagram bio.
Yeah, I think I came across the scripture, I think it was in college. It just really spoke to me. It's Proverbs 3:3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And I think it spoke to me because I feel like our hearts are so connected to the Lord, and that love and faithfulness, when you can hold them close to you, I think they can just really help guide you in whatever it is that you're doing and whatever struggles you're going through or situation that you have or stress that you have or encounter. I think that when I focus on those things and I remember to put them first, I find that the experience can be a lot less stressful and just more fruitful in general, and keep perspective on what really matters. And knowing that your life is a gift and the relationships that you build are a gift, and that the Lord has you. So I've just always felt like that one speaks to me a lot.
I have a smile on my face. Such great testimony. Thank you, Aaron. It was so wonderful to meet you. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. And audience, let's pray for Aaron in her new endeavor. I mentioned as I introduced her that she has now started a new semi-pro women's indoor soccer team. So prayers for her with that. Aaron, thank you so much for being on Catholic Sports Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. Thank you for taking the time to highlight these people and do this podcast. It's a gift. So enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And audience, because of Aaron's long career playing soccer, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with a prayer for athletes. So let's pray it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, God, for giving me life and talents for my participation in sports. Help me to play well, to use my powers to the full, to see them as gifts from you. Be with me when I need to play hurt, when I have to deal with the pain of injury, disappointment, loss. Keep me aware of the brotherhood, the sisterhood that I have with all athletes, even when they are opponents. Free me from the temptation to fake, to foul, to cheat. I need to see that dedication to the cause will mean suffering, but let me know that it is the kind of suffering that leads to new life and greater maturity. Help me play with heart and never lose heart. Most of all, help me never to quit in my efforts to be open to you, for I believe your full coming into my life is the way to real life in all I do. I believe it is the way of my becoming the truly human person you destined me to be. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.